Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
You've heard the phrase before, you maybe have said it, well, today you can't trust anyone. You can't trust anyone these days. And it may be hard to find people that you can trust. You know, if a woman has been abused by a spouse, it's hard for her to trust men again. You can understand that. If a child has been molested, it's hard for a child to trust an adult again, or even an adult to trust other adults, especially if that child was molested by an authority figure like someone in church. You can understand how it would be very difficult to trust once you've been disappointed, once you've been hurt, once you've been abused in some way. But, you know, you have to learn to trust people to a degree just to exist here in this world. Jesus understood human nature, and Jesus himself said that he did not trust himself to them, meaning people, because he knew all men, for he knew himself what was in human nature. He knew that in human nature there's weakness. In human nature, it's possible for people to disappoint you. It's possible for people to lie against you. It's possible for people to mean one thing one day and then they turn on you the next. That's very possible. And so Jesus didn't trust himself to people. And so we have to learn to trust people to a degree. I would say it this way. Learn to trust people with your eyes open. Trust people, but with your eyes open. Now, you can trust God with your eyes closed. But with people, you might need to trust them with your eyes open. We live in a fallen world. And there's something that you can trust even when it may be difficult to trust people. And the Apostle Paul was in prison when he wrote the book of Philippians. And he said, I've learned a secret that a lot of people don't know, even in the church. I've learned how to be content with such things as I have. I've learned how to be content when I'm hungry. I've learned how to be content when I'm abundant. In other words, I've learned something about life living with Christ in me that I didn't know. And I'm writing this to you because you need to know this. I've learned how to live irregardless of what's going on around me. I don't have to change my mood. There's something I trust in. Someone I can trust in regardless of my situation. And then he said these famous words. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'd like you to say that with me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now that word Christ, don't let that mislead you. Christ is not Jesus' last name. The word Christ is a translation of Messiah. Messiah means the anointed one. And so transliterated into the Greek, Christ means the anointing. The anointing. Jesus is the anointed. And he has the anointing of God upon him to do what he did. So you could say it this way. I can do all things through the anointing that gives me strength. Now I'd like you to say that with me. I can do. Now that may make more sense to you as we move forward. Paul said, I've had this experience in life. I've learned this much. I'm even in prison as I'm writing to you, and I'm giving you instructions on how to carry out the Christian life. This is one thing I've learned, you need to learn. I can trust in the anointing. I have learned I can do all things with the anointing that God has given me to face whatever I have to face. I can do all things through the anointing that strengthens me. Are you with me? Now, you got to be honest. You may not be able to confidently say that right yet, but that's God's goal for you. He's taking you somewhere. He's got a point that he wants you to move to in your life where you can learn to be content in whatever your situation is, even if you don't like it. You can learn to be content, be self-satisfied that the fact that, you know, you're going to be okay because you have an anointing from God in you to be able to walk this thing through successfully, abundantly, prosperingly. So I can do all things through Christ or through the anointing that strengthens me. Now, hang on with me for a moment. In the Old Testament times, the prophets and the priests and the kings were anointed by God's Spirit to do certain things for a certain season, and then the anointing would lift. It was gone. They didn't carry the anointing all the time. They only had the anointing to do what they needed to do for that particular thing, and then the anointing was gone. And so when Jesus came, remember his baptism? At his baptism in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, it says the Spirit of God came down in the form of a dove and landed on Jesus when he came out of the water and remained upon him. Are you with me? This is showing us that something has transitioned from the old covenant to the new covenant. Something has changed. And one of the great things that has changed is the anointing that used to come and then lift, now the anointing comes and remains. We have an anointing that people in the Old Testament would have been jealous to have. We have an anointing like Jesus. John the Baptist said it this way: God the Father spoke to John before he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. God said to John these words. He said, "Now, John, the one in whom you see the Spirit descending," and say these next words with me, "and remaining, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." Now, Jesus was a cousin of John, but John didn't know who the Messiah was. He knew that he'd been called to prepare the way for the Lord. He knew that his mission was to prepare the way of the Lord, to get people to repent, get their mind changed, looking for the Messiah. But he didn't recognize that Jesus was the one, because Jesus looked like any ordinary guy right here. He looked like all of you. He didn't look any different. You looked at Jesus in the crowd, he wouldn't have stood out above anybody else. He would have looked just like anybody else. And so how would John recognize him? God told him, says, "You're going to recognize the Messiah this way. You're going to see the Holy Spirit come down like a dove and remain on him. That's the one, John." And so John was looking for this. And so at Jesus' baptism, when he saw this, he was amazed that it was Jesus. Now, I want to say something to you and try to help you understand this word. Sometimes it's mysterious, called anointing. There is an anointing for salvation. When you get saved, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you're born again of the Spirit of God, there is an anointing of salvation that comes upon you from God. The anointing is the Spirit of God that comes upon you, and you are born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit remains in you. He doesn't come and go. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit stays in you. Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He doesn't leave. You say, "What about if I sin?" He doesn't leave. He's already taken care of your sin. What if I do something that grieves him? Well, you grieve the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But he doesn't leave. He stays with you. The anointing of salvation is that God anoints you. Once you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, and he remains in you. But there's another anointing. Everybody say another anointing. Called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's separate from the salvation anointing. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a separate experience from salvation. This is where the Holy Spirit comes upon you, like the dove came upon Jesus. Jesus didn't need to be born again because he didn't have a sinful nature. He was baptized just to fulfill all righteousness, just to fulfill what God said to do. And so Jesus was already born of the Spirit of God. He didn't have to be born again. But he needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come upon his human flesh because he was Jesus. He was human. He was God, but yet he was human. And his flesh, his human part of him, needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, what's the difference? You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the Holy Spirit upon you. What's the difference? It's this. The anointing of salvation is this. The Holy Spirit is in you for your sake. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that second anointing, the Holy Spirit is upon you for other people's sake. I was born again in 1976, I believe. It's possible that I was born again earlier than that when I was a kid. I'm not really sure, and I'm not concerned about it. I'm just thankful that I'm born again. I had that anointing upon me. It wasn't until later that I had an anointing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why did that happen? It came upon me for your sake. Not for my sake, but so that I could minister to other people. So I could witness about Jesus with power. So I could do things that my flesh could not do on my own. The anointing of the baptism is for the sake of other people, not for me. Now I get the benefit of it. It's a thrill and a joy to know that God is using me in some way to minister to somebody, not just preaching, witnessing, helping, whatever it may be. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for the sake of other people. And so you should want both anointings. See, you can be saved and have the Holy Spirit in you, but yet not be baptized with the Holy Spirit upon you. You can be saved, you have the Holy Spirit, but you're not empowered to be effective the way God intends for you to be effective because you're lacking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate and fresh anointing for the sake of other people. Well, preacher, how do I get this anointing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You ask in faith the same way you ask in faith to get saved. Jesus said it this way. He said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children when they ask you for something, how much more will the good Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So how do you receive? How'd you receive Jesus? I believed what God said in His Word, and I asked to be saved, and I believed that He saved me. Did you have a feeling about that? Well, some say yes, some say no. Did you have an experience? Some say yes, some say no. It doesn't matter. You did by faith what God said you asked, and you believed and you received. The same thing is true about the anointing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't make it more mysterious than what it is. It's another touch and another anointing from God. Don't get concerned when you go to church and you hear all these various doctrines about the initial way that the baptism of the Holy Spirit manifests upon you. Just ask God and believe He'll give it to you and leave the rest with Him. Listen, a lot of people here, probably even in our church, they say, well, no, if you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you got to speak in tongues, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. Just don't listen to all that. Just ask God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and let Him manifest it however He wants to manifest it. You may speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues. But don't look for something and say, well, it happened this way in Johnny's life, so then it's got to happen this way. And then wait for some experience. You're looking to that rather than looking to the Father. That becomes like a form of idolatry. The doctrines of men in churches have become a form of idolatry that'll keep you from God. Just ask God. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want power in my life from You for other people's sake so that I can minister in Your power. God, that's what I want it for. And in the book of Acts, when people got baptized with the Holy Spirit, yes, they spoke in tongues, other tongues, but that wasn't the overall badge saying, hey, you've arrived, you've got this. The obvious sign was they had power to be a witness. They had boldness. They had courage that they didn't have before. They had power from God. I don't want you to get confused by the doctrines of men in churches. The Word of God is the Word of God, and don't change it. There is an initial anointing of salvation, but there's also another anointing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you ought to ask God for it. And you ought to just simply believe that once you ask for it, this good Father will give you what you've asked for. Let the manifestation be whatever it is in your life, but don't worry about that. Just trust God. Trust God. Now you're trusting in the anointing. You're not trusting in some doctrine. You're trusting in the anointing. When Prophet Samuel came in the Old Testament days to Jesse's house, and I had a bunch of sons, the prophet was sent to Jesse's house to anoint the next king of Israel. King Saul was still the king. But God said, we're taking the kingdom from him and I've given it to another. Go to Jesse's house and I'll tell you which one of his sons is going to be the next king. The prophet shows up. Jesse's house got all of his sons there except for one, David, who's out there tending the sheep. And soon as Prophet Samuel walks in the house, he sees Eliab, which is probably the tallest and the biggest. And he said, well, surely it's him. And the Spirit of God said, no, it's not him. Then he went to the next one. Well, surely it's him. The Spirit of God said, no, it's not him. So you can't look at people on the outside and determine what God's doing. See? And so he went through all the sons. They were sitting right there. And he went through every one of them. And the Spirit of God said, no, it's not him. And the prophet says, Jesse, do you have any more sons? Well, yeah, we got the run of the litter. He's just out there tending the sheep. Well, bring him in. And soon as teenager David came in the house, the Spirit of the Lord, and he didn't look like a king. He looked like a kid. He walked in the room. As soon as he walked in, the Spirit of God said to Samuel, he's the one. Anoint him the next king of Israel. And he anointed him that day. Can you imagine? He anointed a teenager that day and said, you're the next king of Israel. Woohoo! Now what? Now what? What do you do? Well, guess what David did? And guess what his father did? His brothers did. Samuel went away. Go back out there and tend the sheep. Now, wait a minute. I'm the king. You heard the prophet. Go tend the sheep. And David went back out and did an ordinary, mundane task, it seemed like. Now, what's this got to do? I was just anointed to be king, and I'm out here taking care of sheep. What does this got to do with anything? You may feel that way. You have the anointing of God upon your life for salvation. Maybe you have the anointing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon your life. I don't know. But it looks like nothing's happening in your life. It looks like you're wasting time. It looks like you ain't doing anything but tending to the sheep. I'm getting tired of walking around here tending to these sheep. Wasting my time. I've been anointed by God to lead Israel. I'm out here in the pasture with a bunch of sheep. And David spent a lot of time out there. It looked like he was wasting his time and nothing was happening. Are you understanding? And yet God was doing something. But it didn't look like it. It didn't feel like it. I'm wasting my time, he might have said. No. Out there, he learned a lot about God. He wrote most of the Psalms when he was out there tending the sheep. And he was wondering, don't you think he wondered about that? Man, I'm anointed. The prophet would have been equivalent to Billy Graham in the day. Came to my house, didn't know me from Adam, picked me out and said, the Spirit of the Lord said, you're the next king of Israel. And yet King Saul still lived in the palace. What am I going to do? How is this going to happen? What's going to go on, Lord? Lord, I don't understand. Are you with me? A lot of heart searching while he's tending the sheep. And so while he's tending the sheep, the Lord talks to him. He gets inspired, gets out his guitar and starts to play some music. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Because I'm anointed, the Lord's my shepherd. He leads me in beside the still waters. Because of the anointing, he leads me beside still waters. Because of the anointing, he anoints my head with oil. Because of the anointing, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Because of the anointing, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all my life. I don't know how God's going to do this. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know any of the details. But because I'm anointed, the Lord is my shepherd. Are you understanding? I mean, he starts to understand something. I don't know the details. I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know when your breakthrough is going to come. I don't know how long it's going to take. But you have to start to see, because you're anointed, things are going to happen in your life. And years later, now years go by. And after King Saul is dead, some men came and they recognized the anointing on David. And they came to anoint him the next king. They said, we know that God has you to be the king. And they came to anoint him. Now, wait a minute, he's already been anointed. They came to anoint him. David could have said, oh, now, guys, wait a minute. You don't need to anoint me because I've already been anointed. When I was a teenager, I was anointed. They came to anoint him again to be the king. No, he didn't say that. He welcomed a fresh anointing. He welcomed another anointing. Are you with me? He let them anoint him. And so they anointed him again. I'm here to tell you today, you need more than one anointing in your life. You need a fresh anointing in your life for where you are today, for the challenges you're facing today, for the things that are coming in your life. Don't reject another anointing. There's more than one. In fact, Psalm 92 says, the Lord says, David wrote, you, Lord, have anointed me with fresh oil. Hallelujah. My eyes shall see the downfall of my enemies. Now, this anointing, I want to make a connection here. Remember, at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and rested on Jesus, remained on Jesus. The anointing rested on Jesus like a dove. Do you remember another place in the Bible where there was a dove in the first book of the Bible? Noah's Ark. He sent out a dove. And the dove went out and found an olive branch, brought it back, and he came back, no telling how long, but the dove rested on the ark. Are you with me? The ark is a metaphor or a picture of the type of Jesus. The ark was made of wood, representing humanity. Jesus was perfectly human, yet perfectly divine. Jesus needed to be anointing because he was human. He's anointed by God's Spirit at the baptism. The dove rested upon him. The dove rested upon the ark. The ark is a picture of Jesus, wood, humanity. Our humanity is temporary. Now, the ark was covered on the inside with a tar substance called pitch. But the ark was also covered on the outside with another layer of tar substance called pitch. You could say there was anointing on the inside and there was an anointing on the outside of the ark. Are you with me? And we, when we're in Christ, we are in the ark of safety. Are you understanding? The dove rested upon the ark. Now, Jesus, after his baptism, the Bible says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil for 40 days. After that time, he came back in the power of the Spirit because he overcame the devil. And then he immediately went into a synagogue in his own hometown in Nazareth. And there they had a custom where they read a certain amount of scripture every day. And it just so happened, everybody say, just so happened, that day when Jesus showed up, that the scriptures were open to Isaiah 61, and that's where whoever was going to read was assigned to read. So Jesus walks up to the podium, and this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are oppressed, and to preach the Jubilee year of the Lord. And after he read that, he rolled up the scroll, and then he added, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes. And that's what they said. Whoa. Who does he think he is? He's acting like he's God. He's acting like he thinks he's the Messiah. And Jesus is saying, God has anointed me to do something. He's anointed me to do these very things, to preach the gospel, set free the captives or whatever, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And the people rose up in anger. And this is in Nazareth. And they took him out to, there's only one hill in Nazareth. And a few years ago I was there. And they took him out to this hill. And it's kind of a little small but steep hill. And you go up and they took him to the edge and they were going to push him off. You better be careful what kind of church you go to. I brought back a rock from that precipice up there where, on that little mountain where Jesus was standing a few years ago. There's a little piece of it, but there it was. And they were going to push him off, and it says, and Jesus just walked right on through. How can he do that? Because he's anointed. How can you do what you can do? Because you're anointed. You can't do what you can do, what God wants you to do, unless you're anointed. Jesus was anointed. It wasn't his time to die. That wasn't his way to die. He's anointed, and he walked right on through. And here they are. Here's Jesus fulfilling the scripture, telling them, this day, the scripture's fulfilled in your eyes. And they don't recognize him. They want to kill him. Here's a point you need to understand. It takes the anointing to recognize the anointing. It takes the anointing to recognize the anointing. It takes one to know one. And these people didn't have the anointing. They couldn't see Jesus, and he's standing right in front of them. He looked like an ordinary man. David looked like an ordinary teenager. But when you have the anointing, you can recognize the anointing. It takes the anointing to recognize the anointing. Now, here's the deal about the anointing. The anointing will cause people to do good things for you. We call it favor. When you have the anointing, good things will happen. Good people will just do things for you because they see the anointing on you. But the opposite is also true. Because you have the anointing on you, there are some people that want to do bad things to you because the anointing's on you. Now, they may not recognize the anointing. It's just something inside them that's demonic and evil that hates the anointing of God. There'll be people that don't like you, and they don't know why they don't like you. They just don't like you. It's because of the anointing. It's not flesh and blood. It's not a personality clash. It's a spiritual thing in the spirit. It's because of the anointing. Are you with me? Satan hates the anointing. So when you're anointed by God, the anointing is God on flesh. That's what it is. The anointing is God on flesh, doing things your flesh could not normally do. That's why Paul said we should be saying with our mouth, I can do all things through the anointing that gives me strength. Now think about that. Note the way the scripture is written. Paul wrote this from prison. He's trying to encourage the saints to learn what he learned. I can go through this prison without getting depressed and getting discouraged, because I can do all things through the anointing that gives me strength. I can be hungry and not be worried about it. I can not have enough to make ends meet, but it doesn't matter because I'm anointed to do this. Are you understanding? I'm anointed to do this. I can do it not because I'm strong, but because the anointing is strong in me. And so Paul could have written this way. He could have said, well, we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength, or we can do all things through the anointing that gives us strength. He could have written it this way. You can do all things through the anointing that gives you strength. But the Holy Spirit had him write it this way. I can do all things. Are you understanding? This was written purposely for you to take it, put it in your mouth, and for you to say it. Not about somebody else. Well, he's anointed to do this, or they're anointed. No, I can do all things through the anointing that gives me strength. That's what it was written this way, so we would take that, put it in our mouth, use our mouth as a loaded weapon, and when you need it, you say it, I can do all things through the anointing that gives me strength. Are you understanding? If you understand this, you will quit telling yourself what you can't do, and you'll start saying, I can do all things through the anointing that gives me strength. God puts something in front of me. I don't know how to deal with it. I call upon with my mouth. I can do all things through the anointing that gives me strength. The anointing is activated by faith and your mouth. The anointing is also deactivated by your unbelief and your mouth. You can be anointed and not using it. You can be anointed and not finding the strength, because you're deactivating it with your mouth and your unbelief. You've got to quit telling yourself how difficult it is and start telling yourself out loud, I'm anointed to do this. I'm anointed to overcome this. I'm anointed to go through this. I'm anointed to endure this. I'm anointed to outlast this. I'm anointed to go through this. You may be raising a difficult child, or taking care of a spouse that you never intended that life is going to turn out that way. You're in a difficult situation, and you get tired, and yes, you get tired, and yes, you want to quit, and yes, you wish you didn't live in those circumstances. But you've got to realize something. God knew this before you were born. He knew this time would come, and he has given you an anointing, but it's got to be activated with your mouth. You got to quit saying, this is too difficult, I can't do this. You got to start saying, I can do all things through the anointing that is in me, which gives me strength. I'm anointed to raise this child. Pam and I have two children. We've had difficulty at times with both of them, like most people do. And there are times we say, Lord, did you give us the right ones? And yes, he did. He said, no, I've anointed you to raise that child and that child. I've anointed you to live with that man, to live with that woman. I've anointed you to be in that difficult job that you don't like the boss and the boss doesn't like you, and you're praying to get out of that situation, but I've anointed you to be able to be there. And when the time comes, I can move you, I can do this and that, but I've anointed you for that. You see, you got to look at, what are you trusting in? You may not be able to trust people, you may not be able to trust yourself, but you can trust the anointing that God has given you. And you can trust the anointing that he will give you if you don't have it. So you got to quit telling yourself how difficult it is. You have an anointing to endure something. You have an anointing, men, to go through this program. God placed you there. He could have placed you someplace else, but he placed you there. Now, you can get up and run away if you want to. You can say, I ain't going to do this. Well, that's your free will. You can do that if you want to. But God's anointed you right now to be able to go through it. to get some training that you need and some renewing of the mind that you need, and you need to stick with it and say, when it gets tough, when it gets tiring, when you're ready to walk out the door, you need to say, I can do all things through the anointing that gives me strength. I will overcome. I will finish this. You say, you gotta say that in any area of your life, because you're anointed. So when you're anointed, you can do some things, you can endure some things that other people cannot. When you're anointed, God will get you through some things. He may move some people around, maybe not, but you've got to start learning to trust in the anointing, like Paul said. I'm in prison, but I've learned to be content about it. I'm in prison, but I'm not depressed. I'm in prison. I don't know when I'm going to get out. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I ain't worried about it. I can do all things through the anointing that gives me strength. I've learned this. And so the anointing you have from God is fully capable of overcoming any burden you'll ever face. Nothing we go through is wasted in God. One of these banners, I think is that one over there, says Redeemer. God takes our mess and He is able to turn it around and make good come out of it by the anointing that's in you. He won't do it without you. You've got to cooperate. And you've got to start agreeing with Him and quit disagreeing with Him with your mouth and say, it's too hard, it's too difficult, I can't do it, I'm going to quit, and all that. You've got to quit that. And you've got to start saying, no, I can do all things through the anointing that God's given me. I can do it. And God will redeem things. I was talking to someone the other night. Their life is a mess. They got a lot of turmoil, a lot of heartache, a lot of disappointment. And they're looking at their situation and they're saying, there's no way it's ever going to turn out for good. And I looked that person in the eye and I said to them, you mean to tell me you can look at God and you can say to God, God, you may be great and you may be good, but there's no way you can take this situation and make anything good come out of it. Well, that changed the tune a little bit. They wrote, no, I know God can do anything, but He hasn't done anything yet. Well, God's not on your clock. I understand that. I'd like to give God my watch and say, God, could you work according to my time rather than your time? But he ain't going to do that. And so we have to learn to trust God's timing and trust how He's going to do it. We don't know how He's going to do it. But one of the things that we can do in the process where we are today is this. We can learn to remain sensitive to the anointing that's in us. The Holy Spirit, the dove of God. And as we walk in this anointing, here's the deal. The more you are sensitive and you learn to trust the anointing, follow the anointing, and flow with the anointing and not grieve the anointing, the more you do that, guess what? The anointing increases in your life. How many of you know that's true? The anointing increases in your life. And here's a scripture for that in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. In that day, His burden shall be taken off your shoulder, and your yoke from off, and His yoke from off your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Listen closely. Other translations translate this probably with a better translation. They say the yoke will be destroyed because of the fatness of the anointing. How do you get fat? Anybody got any experience with that besides me? You eat and you keep eating. How do you get fat in the anointing? You eat and you keep eating. You feed on the anointing. You trust in the anointing. You use the anointing. You live in the anointing. And the more you do that, the increase of the anointing, it increases in your life and it becomes fat, so to speak. The anointing in you grows and it increases as you remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in your life. Now, we'll try to land the plane, so here we go. Our part is this. Remain sensitive to the dove. Remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be aware of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Remember that the dove came, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and landed on Jesus' shoulder. Remember? I'll preach up here to the cross, I guess, unless you're going to say, yeah, we remember. All right. I'm trying to get you to get this, so stay awake. It's worth it. Pay attention. If the dove came today, if the Holy Spirit came down in a way you could physically see, and he came down and he landed on your shoulder, and you knew it was the Holy Spirit, and you knew that it was an anointing from God in your life, what would you do going about your regular work day? How would you handle things so that the dove would remain on you and not fly away? How would you react? How would you go about your work day? What would you do differently? You want the dove to remain. So what would you do? Most people say, I would be very careful where I walked. I'd be very careful that I wouldn't do anything so the dove would fly away, because I want that power of God on my life. Are you with me? Would you agree with that? That's a good answer, but I just trapped you. No, that's not good enough. That's what most people say. If the dove would come down upon you, the anointing of God like a dove, and remain on you, how would you keep him there? Yeah. Every move, every word, everything you did would have to be in keeping in mind that he's here. I don't want to do anything to cause him to leave. Of course, he's not going to leave, but I'm just using this as illustration. I have to do everything I do keeping in mind the dove is with me. I have to do everything that I do, every word I say, every action I take, how I treat somebody. I have to do it in regards to keeping in mind the dove is with me. Are you understanding? I'm not sure you do, but I'm going to try to help you. In the Old Testament, the priest would carry the Ark of the Covenant, that gold chest, on poles that had gold, or wood poles that had gold overlaid over them. And the priest would carry the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. One here, one there, and they'd walk very carefully. Have to be in sync. They had a pole here and a pole there on both sides. That's how they carried the presence of God. Are you with me? There are two guiding scriptures about how we in the new covenant carry or maintain a sensitivity to the awareness of God's presence in our life. Two, one here and one there. The first scripture in regards to being sensitive to the Holy Spirit is this: do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't cause him sorrow. Don't cause him grief. And the context of Scripture, when you look at Ephesians 4, the way you can grieve the Holy Spirit is by holding a grudge, unforgiveness in your heart, bitterness in your heart, anger and wrath, and you're holding it in your heart. And guess what? You have just dropped something. Now, the Holy Spirit didn't leave, but you grieved something. You grieved the Spirit of God. That's one pole. But there's another pole on the other side as far as sensitivity to the anointing that you carry. And that one is another scripture in 1 Thessalonians. And the scripture there is, do not quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a fire. So don't put out his fire. The Holy Spirit is like a river that flows. Don't stop the flow. Get into the flow of what the Holy Spirit is doing and go with him. What if he goes this way? I don't want to go that way. Go with him. What if he says, go this way? Well, I don't want to go. Go with him. Somebody is driving you. It's either you or the Holy Spirit's got the steering wheel. Who has it? When you're sensitive to the anointing you carry, you will go with the flow of God. God says, go over here and help that homeless person. Fine, I'll do it. God says, go over here and pray for that person. Fine, I'll do that. Go over here and give a meal to so-and-so. Yes, I'll do it. Go over here and mow so-and-so's grass. Yes, sir, I'll do that. You see what I'm saying? You're flowing. The promised land was a land flowing with milk and honey. The life in the Spirit is a flow, and you can quench the Holy Spirit by refusing to flow with Him. When He says, praise me, lift your hands. When He says, dance. When He says, bow down. When He says, go to the altar. When He says, whatever it is, you can quench the fire of God, quench the Holy Spirit by saying, no, I ain't going to do that. And you just lost something. Now you have the Holy Spirit, but you're not flowing. I wonder how many times we come to church and we're not flowing, but we go through the motions. And the Holy Spirit wanted to take us somewhere that day. He wanted to give freedom into our life that day. He wanted to set you free that day. And yet we didn't flow. No, Lord, I don't feel like dancing. No, Lord, I don't feel like this, and I don't want to do that. I don't like that song. I don't like this music. I don't like the whatever. The two poles, two guiding scriptures. We are called to be carriers of the presence of God. We host the presence of God. We carry the presence of God with us wherever we go. I can tell when the majority of these people have come into this church prepared for worship, because the atmosphere is like thick, prepared. It's easy to preach. Man, I could preach my grocery list and people get saved. I could read the newspaper, people get saved. When the atmosphere is right, when it's prepared by the people of God who carry God's presence, who are expecting an encounter, who are looking for a revival, who are hungry for the things of God, man, I can tell you, I can preach anything. And things will happen. Because nothing is quenching the anointing. See, my anointing is for me, but it's also for you. God anointed me to do what I do for you. But you can choose not to receive it. You can be going, well, I wish you'd hurry up and get done because I'm ready to go eat. And then, you know, I'm telling you, what you've done is you've quenched the anointing. The anointing was flowing. He was moving. He was coming to capture your heart. And you quenched it. You put out the fire. You didn't have the same agenda that God had. Let me tell you how it works. God gives us the Holy Spirit for our sake, but He gives us the Holy Spirit upon us, the baptism for other people's sake. God has plans for your life, great plans, that require you on your part to trust Him, to trust the anointing that He put in you, to lead you, to guide you, to warn you, to help you, to strengthen you. Whatever it is you need, He has given you an anointing to accomplish it, because you can't do it on your own, and neither should you try. But you've got to learn to trust the anointing. And He wants all of your life, every bit, to come under the government of God. This is Isaiah 9:7 says, of the increase of His government and peace, there'll be no end. God's kingdom, God's government in your life, when you let Jesus be Lord of your life, He didn't just want to, okay, your card is stamped, you can go to heaven. He wants all of your life. The government is increasing. I'm letting Him handle my finances. I'm letting Him handle my children. I'm letting Him handle my marriage. I'm letting Him handle my financial situation, my health situation, my work situation, my friend situation. I'm letting His government increase in my life. Are you with me? It's spreading out. So eventually it encompasses everything. And I remain in that anointing, and I walk in the anointing. I walk in the flow. And then you see miracles and signs and wonders all along your journey that absolutely amaze you. So let me ask you this. Who's in the driver's seat? Who's in the driver's seat of your life right now? You can say Jesus. But God knows the truth, and so do you. You want Him to be in the driver's seat. And you're over here as a passenger, and all of a sudden He wants to take you in a different direction. You don't reach over and grab the wheel. No, we're not going that way. I want you to go over here. No. You let Him sit in the driver's seat, and you let Him make decisions on where He wants your life to go. But God, that's not on my dream list. Well, let Him lead. Don't try to take the wheel from Him. Learn to trust the anointing. I know you've had hard trust issues with people, but you shouldn't have a hard time trusting God. I can do all things through Christ, the anointing that strengthens me. Would you stand to your feet, altar workers? Would you come up here and stand with me? God can open doors for you that no man can open. He can close doors for you that He doesn't want you to go through. You've got to learn to trust God with your life. You've got to learn to trust this anointing. Trust Him. Trust the anointing that He's given you for this life. How many of you here today would say, yep, I am definitely born again. I know I have the anointing of salvation upon my life. Just raise your hand. Wow, that's a vast majority. If you couldn't raise your hand with confidence and assurance, then you need to be saved, sir. You need to be born again of the Spirit. That's a mysterious work that only God can do. But you've got to say yes to it. Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my God. I want your anointing for salvation. Come into my life. Be my Lord and your Savior. He'll do it. Now, how many of you would say without any shadow of a doubt, you've received the anointing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. Okay. A little less. You need this. You need this because your life will never reach the place of fulfillment that God has intended for you without this anointing, because you can't do the things that God wants you to do without this baptism. You ought to come forward today and talk to one of our counselors and say, pray for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Am I going to have to do anything silly? No, just ask God. And let God determine the outcome. And some of you are facing challenges in life right today that you need a fresh anointing on your life. Your life's going in a new direction. You started a new job, or you're going in a move in a different place, or you're here because God moved you here. You don't know what God has for you. Be like David and say, yeah, I need a fresh anointing. Let people pray for you. Bow your head, please, with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for the Word. It will not go forth void. It will accomplish what You sent it for to do, as long as people be open to receive and not quench the Holy Spirit of God. Now, while your head bowed and eyes are closed, if you need salvation, I want you to move right now. Come right down here and stand right in front of me and talk to me. I'll be glad to help you with that. We'll settle that issue once and for all. You'll go home saved and sure. If you're here today and you need a baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to come down here right now without hesitation and come to one of our counselors and let them pray for you to receive what God promised He'd give to you. And if you need a fresh anointing in your life, just come right down here right now, and you can go to the altar, and you can just pray and ask God for a fresh anointing, and He'll do it because you've humbled yourself before the Lord, because you said yes. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. I knew You'd do it. I thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke.
Yes.
Thank You, God. Thank You, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.